So today we'll be doing a deep dive on the auto industry in Germany and Europe. Germany is well known as the birthplace of automotive engineering excellence. BMW, Mercedes, and Audi, among others, are known for their precision, craftsmanship, and cutting-edge technology. But things are changing, and they're changing fast. Today, we'll be talking with two auto industry enthusiasts from Germany who will help us answer these questions. How are these brands doing with their electric vehicle lineups? Will the Chinese car brands get a foothold in Europe themselves? And how exactly is the European market dealing with a change to your electric vehicles? We want to know who's going to survive and who will thrive. So this is very exciting. Thank you both for joining me. We're joined today by Simon and Jan. Thank you both.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah, pretty excited.
Okay. Well, help me get brighter about the auto industry in Germany and in Europe. Okay, so the first question I want to ask you guys is, you know, the German auto brands are very well known. They're well-respected brands. How are they doing in their kind of, transition to electric vehicles? And just tell me more about the European market.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I can jump in here because I think since I also analyze on my channel, like the culture of Germany and how it ties into this transition to the EV space, people have to know that German auto has most of their patents inside of the internal combustion engine technology. So this means for them to change is actually pretty challenging, despite that the German auto brands are very well respected around the world. But still, it's challenging. Like for Ford, like for GM in the US, for example, this transition isn't easy, but they're trying their more or less their hardest, sometimes mm-hmm. not, sometimes more or less. But it's pretty interesting to see. But still, if you compare it, maybe you can show up the chart that I've brought here, is that Tesla, in comparison, this is an analyzation of ICCT. They analyze the electric vehicle space and give points to different companies. That's what we're looking at right here. And if you look at Tesla, they have an overall very high rating, the highest rating of all of them. And BYD is following because the BYD production numbers last year were around, I think it was like, 1.3 million? No, 700,000, I think, around mm-hmm. that ballpark. And Tesla had around 1.7, that's the number I have in my head.
1.3,
exactly. Sorry. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So this makes a lot of sense that they're leading here. And also, that's why they produce in mass production, they are much, much further than the German car manufacturers. But still, they are here in the chart, in the transition space, they are really shown there. And the laggard section, the laggards are, for example, Toyota, Honda, Nissan, Mazda, and Suzuki. And yeah, this makes sense because Toyota had a pretty rough start. Because they try to set so much focus on hydrogen, that's why they in this calculation here, they aren't as good as the German OEMs here. Yeah, but if you look at BMW, for example, they have a huge problem because German car manufacturers really want to transition to EVs, but really they don't want to transition. It's a middle sector. BMW, for example, from the numbers were like they in 2030 they aim to produce around 50% EVs, for example. They don't have a Frunk like every other German OEM as well. That's because they more or less try to have every engine type they can have to go into mm-hmm. the future. They don't know if it's going to be e-fuels. They don't know if it's going to be... They are experimenting with every of those vehicle or engine types. So they are not as heavy into the transition. But VW, for example, on the other hand, is more or less all in. Now with... that they got rid of Dies and transitioned to Porsche with the Porsche CEO Blume, who is also very much a fan of e-fuels. yeah, it seems like it's startling a little bit, but still VW is going all in into EVs as well as Mercedes, for example. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's the thing we can see. Maybe you can want to add something here, Simon, or maybe Herbert, you want to comment here.
No, what I wanted to add is, yeah, BMW is using one platform for all of their propulsion systems. That's pretty much their biggest problem currently, because all of these cars have or could be much better in what they're doing, like for BEV having a better range or having better efficiencies. But this multi-propulsion system, which is using the same platform for all kinds of engines, is really slowing them in that regard. So that's kind of sad to see. And the next class or the next platform that is coming, the Neue Klasse, the new class, BMW calls it, will come in 2026, 2027. So we will have to wait and see how this is going for them the next years. Yeah,
so, and especially, Herbert, go on, please.
Yeah, so what I noticed from here, and you guys tell me if this is correct. Now, first of all, we have to believe that this is an auto industry think tank who created this kind of rating system between dominance, market dominance, technology performance, strategic vision. Now, let's assume that they have the right rating. But first of all, the leaders, which we knew is Tesla and BYD, they seem very far ahead of everyone else. That I can believe. I think that looks right. But then I notice also that the German brands, European brands, are ahead of the American ones. So they got BMW, VW, Mercedes. Then you've got GM and Ford down here. Do you guys agree? Do you think that makes sense as well?
I would say so. It makes sense in this regard, because if you look at the sales numbers, for example, Audi with the e-tron, they sold more than I think Ford in my head. It's like I think they sold more. Also BMW, for example, also sold like around 100,000 or something like this. I have this number in my head right now. So this means they are producing more cars, more electric cars than most of the American car companies, because we all know the Hummer EV, for example, got sold like five times or something. So that's what you can compare really.
Yeah, so pretty much the premium OEMs and also VW as volume OEM are currently selling right around 10 to 12% of their lineup in BEVs. And yeah, as Jan pointed out, Ford and GM are quite far ahead from that. So that's struggling
Okay. So before we get into each of the brands, like I want to ask you about Mercedes and BMW separately, individually. Before we get there though, tell me, I know Jan, you and I had talked about this before.
Yeah.
You know, German car manufacturers are been well known. They have dominated for many decades. The driving machine, BMW, right? Yeah. I own a BMW myself, and it's viewed as a kind of like a great car. But as they transition to electric vehicles and its future, what are you seeing in terms of their challenges and how they're well positioned or very poorly positioned? What are they doing differently than Tesla and others?
Jan, you want to start?
You can start if you want.
I need to figure out my thoughts first.
Okay, yeah, then I can start. So I think it's interesting to see that. Back again to the first point, they have their patents in the internal combustion engine technology. Back again to this. So this means they have over 100 years experience in building internal combustion engine cars. So especially BMW was very forward in the sense that they were racing machines. They really did this these many races all around the world. Yes. They were pretty far ahead with Audi as well, with Mercedes of course as well. So DTMs and everything, you know this maybe in this racing space, that BMW was always like one of the greatest cars, and this spice of them really went over to their production cars as well. That was their philosophy, and now it's a little bit difficult, because now if you strip everything down from an EV, what is actually produced in Germany? What can they produce in Germany? The batteries? No, not that's in Asia, of course. Where do they get the everything else? Where, and now the software problematic is getting bigger and bigger, because Germany didn't really invest in the software space, just like every other legacy auto company, internal combustion engine legacy auto company did. Jim Farley recently did this interview, which was pretty interesting, yes, where he really admitted and for the first time in history, a legacy auto CEO really explained really broadly that they have huge struggles with software. They have 150 suppliers of software, mm-hmm, just Ford alone. And for example, for changing the seat positions, you have Bosch. And then you want to change a little tiny detail of this, you have to get the approval of Bosch. But not only Bosch, there are 150 suppliers as well. So having software in-house is such a main advantage for the EV that this is a total different game. And that's why it's so difficult for them to play this. And that's why they try to really like a sideline. Okay, we want to do a little bit of e-fuels, have a little bit healthier mix to fall back on a different technology if we have problems with Asian countries, maybe with suppliers and everything else. So that's why that's the main reason why they said that they want to go to the premium segment now and just scrap the mass production now. And this is what many German legacy car companies really admitted. Of course, Mercedes was always a niche, like a special luxury niche, more or less. But now they doubled down. They had mass production cars, but they scrapped it all along now. And the strategy is pretty evident besides VW. VW tries its best to be a volume producer still, but their target is around 5 million EVs and they produce 10 million cars a year. So that's something you have to keep in the back of your head. That's crazy for VW to say this. They call for defeat already, more or less.
Okay,
in that sense.
Now pause for a second because I just want clarification on what you just said.
Yeah,
there,
okay, sorry.
Yeah. It's a big one, right? So you're saying that you know they've dominated the car industry. They know how to build ICE cars, but they realize that they cannot. They're admitting that they won't be able to make that. Some of these brands are not going to be able to transition to electric vehicles because they don't have the batteries. They don't have the software. Now, which brands have actually said that they're going to just become a niche player? Now, the brand is very strong. Like it's powerful, right? The loyalty to these brands. Like mm-hmm. my sister owns Mercedes. They physically fly from Canada to Germany and then go to the factory tour and have a Mercedes flown to them. They will never buy another car. They'll always wait for the Mercedes. But are you saying that Mercedes has decided, BMW has decided, we're going to just be a niche brand? What did they actually say?
It's Mercedes that publicly told this plans that they're going to scrap the mass production cars.
It did.
The A series, for example, the older A series was a internal combustion engine version. That they won't transition to the EV space. They're going to stick with the EQS, with the bigger ones, with the SUVs, for example, with the more premium cars and the Maybachs, of course, and everything else. So for them, it's near to their DNA to be a premium supplier of cars. So this makes sense. BMW is a different story, but BMW also hinted that they want to go to the premium segment because they need margins and they can't get margins out of the mass production. And they already realized this. And since BMW doesn't produce as many, like millions of cars a year, like tens of millions of cars, of course, Toyota produces this and VW and Stellantis produces this and the whole group. So this means they're pretty hesitant with this and they won't go with, at least with BMW, with the BMW brand. I don't know how they're going to treat Mini because Mini is also owned by BMW. So this is a different story. I think there we could see a lower cost vehicle, but with less range with and everything else. We already have some EVs here in Europe that are Minis, for example, who are going around. But still, it's not a comparison to a Model 3 or it's not a comparison to the newer Project Highland that's coming up and everything. So yeah, that's what I have to say to this.
And then if I can add one thing to BMW drivers, for example, the thing or the problem for BMW probably is that BMW fans are mostly petrol heads and transitioning all of these guys over to a BEV is really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm really wondering how they're going to do it, because I think personally their own goal of 50 to 60% in 2030 is just not enough to stay above or around 2 million sales 2030. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think also yeah. BMW has its way of shrinking down in somewhat, yeah.
Jan, you had shown me a video before where, was it mm-hmm. a Mercedes? Well, which one was it? Where they didn't have the trunk, the frunk?
Yeah, yeah, it was a Mercedes, yeah.
Yeah, they can't open the front hood.
Had,
yeah.
Mercedes had created an electric vehicle, but they actually shut the front. You can't even open it because yeah, there yeah, is correct. No frunk, because yeah. even if you did open it, it's going to be just completely full of
yeah.
and whatever it is, even though it doesn't yeah. need yeah. an engine.
A big HEPA filter, yeah. what they said, but it was just a yeah. bad excuse, actually. Like Tesla also has a big HEPA filter, but not as big as Mercedes, but still no frunk. But a huge disclaimer here, BMWs don't have a frunk. VWs don't have a frunk. No German car manufacturer has a frunk. And this is very yeah. important to note here.
And that's and because this, yeah. as they're trying to build an electric vehicle, they're still using kind of the old model of how to build cars, and they're still using the same parts. Is that why this is the case, that they don't have the space in the front?
That's my speculation, that they are doing this way, and that they are more flexible with their production, or they decided it 5 years ago or something like this, mm-hmm. because their product cycle cycles not are around so 5 years. So this yeah. could be like, oh, I don't know, maybe we have hybrid then, or maybe we have something else. So please don't just secure yeah. this. I think that's the way, because they will go to hydrogen if it's possible. They will be doing this, I think, because they have to diversify the technology in that sense.
So, I'm agreeing with you. I mean, these cars that are currently on the market from German or European OEMs are all their first shot at electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. So they're mm-hmm. pretty much supplier parts all over the space, over the car. I personally don't think, apart from maybe BMW, that anyone else would go away from BEVs now. They are all pretty much committed, as Jan already said. So, apart okay. from maybe shrinking for the premium OEMs and also VW, I don't see anyone really going any other route away from BMW. So, BEVs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe going I can on. Add something here, because you have to keep in the back of your head that just Tesla said something around to produce 10 million cars, and let's just mm-hmm. don't calculate the Elon factor inside into this, that he said 20 million in 2030. Mm-hmm. So yeah. even if they produce 10 million, no German OEM, VW doesn't aim for around 5 million EVs. They are just aiming around 5 million EVs to produce a year. And BMW, the half of their production should be EVs. That means like around, what are the production? 1 million maybe?
That's 1. The max. 2 million around that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, something yeah. like this. So this already shows you that just the Chinese companies and just Tesla are full force in that sense, if you compare it, because they are like from the ground up, especially Tesla is from the ground up EV company, and that's a totally different scenario. That's how you see it. So the shift will transition much slower for the internal combustion engine companies, of course. Yeah.
Okay. But in the meantime, electric vehicles are taking off in Europe, right? Mm-hmm. Should we go there first, or do you want to go individually to each car company first?
We could use the whole market first if you
yep.
want. Yeah, let's do the whole market first. Okay. Let me show this. This is a chart that you, Simon, shared with us. Tell yeah. us what we're seeing here. It looks like it's January to December, and correct. Each column is from 2016, and yeah. then you'll see each January's. Yeah.
Until dark
all the way
blue
to 2023.
And now,
so the pink is 2023.
Yeah.
But I guess if I look at 2022, correct. I'm seeing this, I don't know, they're all blue. But this blue here for yeah, December, yeah, blue. It's just skyrocketed in December, January, yeah. November compared to the previous November and mm-hmm. all that skyrocketing. Tell me what you're saying here.
One thing that happened in Germany, especially in the German market, is that the subsidy for BEVs got smaller this year. Mm. And it went from €6,750 for the consumer to €4,500. So pretty much a loss of one third of the subsidy. So most companies or most consumers said, okay, before we will lose most of the subsidy money or a lot of the subsidy money, we will register them right before the year ends. And that's what we're seeing here. Yeah.
That's why the spike. Oh. Yeah.
Spike where? Right. This spike happened before the year end, before the January, because they're afraid that they're going to lose that new subsidy. Okay, exactly. Gotcha.
Yeah.
But in general, it's obviously electric vehicles are taking off in Europe just like everywhere else. Correct?
Yeah, correct. Okay. One thing you could point out is that the January number, if you want to go back once again, January number is lower in 2023 because, as in 2022, mostly because of that oversupply in December last year. And the German news used this data point to pretty much say, oh, the BEV revolution is over in Germany.
Yeah.
Petrol, go back to the roots, go back to the ICE engine, but that's pretty much wrong, as you can see.
distorted because December was so many registrations. That's why January is weaker this year. Yeah, that makes sense.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. And then what's this table here? This is, again, in the German market, electric vehicles. Just a quick way to show this, the exponential curve going up and the growth spiked in 2021. Yeah.
Correct. These are year-to-date numbers until May, and as we can see, the growth was the biggest in 2021. I think mainly because of VW pretty much taking off with ID4, ID3, and also with Tesla Shanghai production that finally found its way to Europe and to Germany. So that's why their sales growth is that high, and sadly in 2022. In April, as we all know, Shanghai was closed, so the growth slowed down a little bit, but it's currently recovering again, thank God, and still growing with 24%. So let's see what the future holds for the rest of the year.
Okay, so that's electric vehicles in Europe. Tell me about how are these the German manufacturers faring? I think you had something to show, Jan, about Mercedes. You want to start with that one?
Yeah, we could start with this one. I just wanted to point out that this were the German numbers. It's very important to see this.
That was just in Germany. We'll look at...
Just in Germany, but the trend... Yeah, I'm going to talk about Europe soon, so we're going to go back there. But we're going to start with Mercedes here. Wait a second. I'm going to switch to the slide there. So these are the Mercedes numbers from Berlin Energy. He did a great job summarizing this. So in Q1 2023, they produced or registered or shipped 51,600 BEVs. And before they, I mean, this was a growth rate for them for 89%. And 10% of the overall sales of the whole Mercedes group. And those are the numbers. I won't go too much into detail here. Some models listed as well. But this just gives you perspective how many BEVs does Mercedes sell. And those numbers, I think, are even globally, as I assume here. Understood it here from this article. So this is the whole article here. You don't have to read everything or something. It's just like the summary was the tweet before. But still, it's interesting to have the number in the back of your head. Around 50,000 cars, EVs. So around,
around 10% of their lineup is currently sold in EVs. And pretty much most other OEMs, as we will see later on, are also around that ballpark.
So they're a little bit higher than the American, some of the American car manufacturers, like GM, for example, which did a horrible job selling their, 20 is not a big number. So they're up there, and you can clearly see here also the strategy of Mercedes. They are ambitious to go all electric. They are the ones in Germany that are the strongest in progressing there. They really see also the software thing. They started with developing this also very early in comparison to the rest of the industry, especially the full self-driving technology they are doing, which is called their Drive Pilot over there. So Mercedes really has strides to be also leading in the software space. I highly disagree with that statement. They have level 3 autonomy right now, even on German roads, which was crazy, but with so many limitations that you can just call it a traffic jam assistant right now. But level 3 traffic jam assistant. No low standing sun, no construction sites and everything. They got in a disengage. So yeah, the strides are...
Only until 60 kilometers per hour, only if a car is in front of you, only during only on the autobahn or on the highways.
Highway.
So pretty much only if you're in a traffic jam and going slower than 60 kilometers per hour. Yeah. So that's pretty much limiting itself.
But I have to give them a little bit like a heads up here. They already rose this number. It's not 60 anymore. 60 kilometers around 30 or 27 miles or something like this. So it's a little bit higher now, and they are capable of doing it with 120 kilometers per hour. They claim, but still, this is early stage development, and the lawmakers are also involved in this very much. So that's why it's so restricted. And what's funny is the AC starts on full auto when you engage, because it's because of a law that if the window gets fogged, that's how to prevent it, and it's mandatory. So something like this is just normal German craziness. We are used to this, Simon. I think you would agree.
So you've said that Mercedes seems to be doing well. You just kind of said that. Tell me about Volkswagen though. How are they? What are they doing?
Well, Volkswagen I could start right away. Volkswagen is the second biggest OEM currently in the world, with just around, 9 million sales in 2022.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and those are the ones pretty much that have the most to lose in this regard. Mm-hmm. So they have to really, really accelerate their BEV sales, and I think they're also around 10 or 12% of their sales being electric. Mm-hmm. If you compare that to their 2030 goal of around 60% sales being electric, they will shrink quite heavily in the coming years. Mm-hmm. And currently they are working or they are producing their cars on the MEB platform. But Oliver Blume also already said that the next gen platform with new software and everything new and overhauled will probably go into production around 2028. So he delayed all of that multiple years. So everyone that wants to have a VW BEV car has to rely on the MEB platform, which is currently horrible. The over-the-air OTA updates aren't over-the-air. They are over the auto house, so over the car dealership.
You got to go.
It's horrible for many consumers. And that's what you have to live with, what the VW group has to live with. And that's also the reason why I think that they will shrink quite heavily in the coming years. It's going to be painful.
I have to jump in here also that VW has, like Simon said, the most to lose, because they are in the mass segment, and EV production in the mass segment is the most difficult thing they are confronted with right now. And when you are not natively from the EV platform going up, growing, that's pretty difficult to have this big ship with a board of directors which has like over 30 members and stuff like this. The whole Porsche Peach family almost sits there. Every aunt, niece and uncle sits in the board, more or less. And what's maybe interesting to highlight here, because it's all about the platforms, because they can put out models as many as they want. They can put out the e-bus, and it's still based on the MEB platform. So you will always get the MEB platform. It doesn't matter which car, what you do. And what is interesting is that Audi now in the racing space, on the more sportier cars, they're going to produce the S line. The interesting thing is they are partnering with Porsche actually, which are all under the umbrella of VW, of course, but they're going to use the Taycan platform for their sporty one car. And this is pretty interesting that they will share the platform, but not with the MEB platform, of course, because it's not a sporty platform. They're going to share the platform with Porsche. And then you get a Porsche Taycan, actually, with Audi styling. So that's the strategy right now. So they are struggling pretty heavily. And that's why Bloom is also very hesitant with the technology, like I mentioned before. So yeah, this is something to get an overview. So I think this gets, it's so complicated to look through all those things that, yeah, this is sometimes gets, people just think about the brands. VW is a great brand. Audi is a great brand. Of course, the German brands are awesome. But still, they're struggling like everyone else is struggling as well. Ford is very going, I think Ford is at least admitting, and this is the first step to really change something radically. And I also think Herbert Diess did a great job, but he got scrapped. And this is sad. Yeah. Pretty sad for VW.
Yeah. Okay, so there's three topics I still want to cover, right? So one is the charging network in Europe, the Tesla's position in Europe, how they're doing. And then I want to talk about Chinese brands coming into Europe. So let's start with the charging network. So clearly electric vehicles, it's just like all over the world globally, it's taken off. It's now globally at 10% of all cars sold is an electric vehicle. In Europe, in some parts of Europe, I understand they're really far ahead, right? Like Norway and other countries that are so far ahead, correct?
Yeah,
but tell me about the, you know, how is the charging network? So in US, we know that there is Tesla's supercharger network that is dominating everywhere. Then they have Electrify America. Tell me what's going on in Europe.
I can start maybe with Norway because they are the North Star of electrification in Europe.
They are.
Yeah, it's interesting. First of all, people have to understand Norway has a special special. Like there's a special situation with Norway. They have a lot of green energy because they have many solar, many wind farms, for example, especially offshore wind farms, which produce a lot of, and they have a huge overproduction of electricity. And they have fossil fuels as well, and they're going to export those. So they're in a great position to sell every fossil fuels they're going to produce that makes them very rich, actually. So this is pretty good position to start this. So for the infrastructure, it's very important. And now you have, we have a lot of cheap green energy. Why don't we use electric vehicles? It's much, it makes much more sense for them to just shift. And yeah, they have a, I don't know, a crazy high. It's about like 70 or something, 70%, 80% or something.
90%
even
by now.
90% even. Yeah, that's, so I had old numbers in my head right now. So yeah, it's accelerated like crazy. So this is the perfect example how it should work, but they are in a very special position. Yeah, so, but overall in Europe, it gets better and better. We had some small hit cars like the Renault Zoe, for example, which isn't actually a car. It's more like a, for an American, it's more like a normal scooter that you get in Walmart to if you're a little bit obese or something like this, or can't walk as well. So, this was very popular as well. So smaller cars that are not as expensive are very popular. The Model 3, I think, is also very popular. But we've seen the statistics already. Maybe some of you know them already, that the Model Y is a bestseller also in Europe. And they are gaining market share like crazy because the value to cost is the best you can get also in Europe. That's, many people think this. Yeah, but maybe, Simon, you want to talk about the infrastructure of Germany with the EV infrastructure. I think that's very important also.
So for the charging infrastructure, there are billions and billions of providers and different companies that are able to get into the market. And everyone has their own little charging card or credit card you can use to go to the block and then just wait until it's connected and wait for the paying process and wait for the car. And maybe it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Mostly it doesn't.
Awesome. Yeah.
And so the charging experience is equally bad with as in the US with Electrifying America, I would say.
Yes.
But the only downside we have way more providers in the same space are way more cramped, way more competition. Sadly, price-wise, you can't really see that because you would expect then prices to fall, but they're equally high. but this thanks to to a mild winter and better energy policies.
Production.
Or production. Yeah, we were able to mitigate the risks and price spikes of the Russian war.
Mm-hmm.
So our prices currently are going back to normal, to around 40 cents at the charging station, which is pretty much household price, I would say, for electricity. I don't know, Jan. Do you think?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
prices at the superchargers were around 75 to 80 cents per kilowatt hour. So these are pretty much halving at this point, which is great for the transition. So, but as I said, it's pretty much the same chaos as in the US, just with way more providers, way more different cards you could use, which with also different pricing models, different tariffs,
different apps.
Correct. Yeah.
So you could summarize it this way: Electrify America is the German system exported.
It's the same,
which
yeah.
is not. But mm-hmm. yeah. So, but they had the advantage of early movers there in the US because nobody really touched the charging infrastructure topic besides Tesla at first, early mover. VW seen that, they just jumped in and just spreaded the electrify. Even I think they even invested more. You could really tell because they want to conquer the US market, and they all also wanted to conquer the Chinese market. This didn't turn out so well, we know that maybe. But the European one also, it was, I mean, it's all right, we have a reasonable charging infrastructure here, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But reliability is I think it's better than in the US, reliability of the charging stations, but it's a hassle with all those cards and different apps and everything. It's too many.
Show me your
every city
your
has,
slide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Show me your slide that you have there.
For the charger ports, maybe.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one.
So you have to. We know that also the US with Electrify America has the CCS combo adapter, and this is pretty interesting to note that Tesla was actually the first ones that had a standard, and they really pushed it in 2012, I think it was. And 2013, the other car manufacturers together decided to, okay, we're going to do an open standard, more or less, the CCS adapter. It's much bigger. It's much dumber than the Tesla charger as well. So this was just because we had many different plugs as well in Europe, and that's why they tried to standardize this as well. And they, of course, they hope that this will be a global standard. So this is also a little war of standards here we are seeing right now going on in the US, maybe, because in the US it's almost 50-50. It's 50% Tesla plugs with the Tesla charging infrastructure, and in and the CCS adapters with Electrify America. So that's it. And on the top here we see the Chinese adapter. So they have a different adapter type. They have the Type 2 and the GBT standard here. And so I'm not an engineer. I have to give a huge disclaimer here that I'm just a designer who talks about this stuff. But I have a friend who's an engineer. He tried to explain it to me, at least, because I was very interested. What is the difference between those chargers? But Herbert, did you want to say something?
Or? No, nothing. I mean, just obviously that the Tesla version is so much, saying about cooling system and others, why they're able to just make it so simple, so small. But it's interesting that the Chinese version and the European version are just completely large and complicated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to say it this way. So my friend told me that the Tesla charger actually has it's much more technological advanced, in the sense that it's much more compact. It's much smarter. The plug even communicates better with the car, and it has longer pins inside of the car as well, and bigger pins to have more heavy load on the cables. So this means it's much sturdier for the compact size. So, and that's because Tesla has a much better cooling system to cool those cables, and this is the advantage they have. So now we have this in the US, we have this tug war almost of CCS and NCAS, standard of Tesla. And now with Jim Farley of the Ford CEO talking publicly with Elon Musk, that they are partnering now for a long period already. So they try to implement the Tesla standard now, the NCAS standard.
Yeah.
And I obviously mix them around. So, but you know what I mean, the Tesla plug. Yeah. And if they implement the Tesla plug, it seems like it's going to fall to this standard maybe. And this will be awesome because it's, of course, it's a little bit better standard. It's smaller. It's for the user. It's much more greater experience to have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's also about the load or something. The CCS adapter can do more load or something, but the Tesla standard is more than enough and more to use it. That's how I understood it. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Tesla in Europe. So, Simon, why don't you tell me about this this table here?
Well, what are we seeing? We are seeing BEV and Tesla market share in Europe for each and every quarter since 2020, and we can see that it's going up. Great surprise, great news. Mm-hmm. It's going up in waves, as you can also see, and maybe one surprise here in Q2 2022. When Giga Shanghai was closing down, obviously there were no ships going to Europe, and Giga Berlin wasn't contributing at that stage. So our the Tesla registrations in Europe were pretty much non-existent at that point. And yeah, but as you can see, the trend is continuing to go up. Of course, we have swings in there because ships are coming and going, and production is only slowly ramping in Berlin, by now also at 5K per week, but still behind the goal of potentially 10,000 per week. And yeah, that's
okay. What I see here
so good
is what I see here that I said earlier that the global electric vehicle sales versus ICE cars is 10%, and here in Europe it's 13.4, and the global sales of Tesla globally is 2%, 2.1%. Here it's 2.9%. So they're doing better. Of course, we know that they're doing really well in China. They're doing better in Europe, and they're just catching up in the US, surprisingly, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct. That's what I would say so too.
And then this is another kind of look at Tesla sales in Europe.
Yeah, correct. For each color represents 1 year, and the pink is now 2023. And as far as I know, the light pink in Q2 is also the year-to-date number, I think, for April and May, I think. But mostly the third month in the year and in the quarter is the strongest. So we will have to wait and see how this quarter turns out. It should be on record pace, or at least as high as Q1. So maybe that's also only the April number. I'm not quite sure at this point, but we're looking pretty good.
Yeah, and now if you compare it to Mercedes, for example, which has 50,000 cars on the whole market, the whole global market.
Global market.
Then you
just Europe.
Then you kind of see how big Tesla is in Europe already. So they're gonna, like, in Q1 it was 100,000. So this is crazy. Yeah, in comparison, that's double the yearly number of Mercedes.
Tesla's doing very well in Europe. Tell me about the Chinese brands. So we just talked about the European brands. These amazing brands, right? BMW, Mercedes, Audi, Volkswagen. But what is happening with the Chinese brands? So these Chinese brands are doing very well. As we know, BYD is the big one. There's others, NIO, XPeng. They are dominating in China. It's primarily still Tesla and these Chinese brands. But now these Chinese brands are going abroad, and their first target is Europe. So tell me, are they already selling cars there? How is the European market viewing these Chinese automakers?
So what I know of, for example, BYD, is that most of BYD's cars are currently sold to Sixt, the car renting company. So I don't know. I think I saw around 4 or 5 BYDs already. BYD Atos 3s, And they all had the same number plate, all of them, wherever I was. So I was wondering, why is that? Hmm. And I Googled a little bit, and then I saw, okay, those cars are all coming from the company Sixt, which is renting cars in Germany and in Europe. So as far as I know, BYD has currently sold a couple hundred BYD mm-hmm. cars here in Germany, at least. Mm-hmm. And for NIO and XPeng, I'm not even sure if XPeng has already sold cars.
I think one model is in the starting position to be released in Germany, I think.
Yeah.
In Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. In Europe, okay, just one thing I just had in my head. In Europe, of course, they have sales already in Norway, of course, since Norway is so far ahead. But I'm not sure in Germany. And NIO just started. Also just started this year in Germany, but their sales are all around the hundreds or even below 100 cars mm-hmm. so far. Yeah.
But what I have to add here maybe is that the Chinese brands are besides Tesla, the biggest competition for German automakers, because mm-hmm. they might tackle, especially BYD, might tackle the lower segment of lower cheaper cars or more pricier cars, and mm-hmm. This is very important because the media in Germany, I've talked about this also on Twitter, and many Germans disagreed and said nine but really much it's actually like this that the median income in Germany is 35,000 mm-hmm. euros a year. So guess mm-hmm. what you would buy? We have a very interesting situation. People here, maybe Simon can also talk about this for a brief moment here, that it's mostly over the businesses that you get your cars, for example. Maybe you can highlight it. Around 80% is from businesses, more or less, that people get their cars from their job, for example, mm-hmm. that they get a Firmenwagen, which is called in German. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's called a company car, yeah. Correct. Yeah, so I've also brought a chart with me, Herbert, if you want to share that.
Sure.
If you can find that, which is showing the percentage of company cars that are registered in Europe, in Germany. That's correct. That's just showing Tesla's vehicle sales. And we could use this and then switch to the other, whatever you want. Yeah, we can use this. There's also Tesla in there, so that's pretty much the same thing, just better. And what we can see on the column on the right side, also on the front, we can see the different car models, like VW Golf, VW mm-hmm. ID4, mm-hmm. BMW, Audi, and Mercedes. And on the right side, on the 11th column, you can see a percentage number. For example, for the VW Golf, there are 83.7% of all VW Golf registrations in Germany are from company cars cars. Yeah. Yes. And that's the thing that almost nobody here outside of Germany knows. We have fleet managers in bigger companies buying directly from the OEMs. And that's why the sales numbers are so high, because most of these cars are directly going to companies, can be used in private, of course, but are ordered by companies from fleet managers that are working, I don't know, for the telecom, for the OEMs itself, or Deutsche Post, or anyone. They are registering all these cars for companies, or most of these. Yep. I mean, I think the average company car percentage is over 60%. I think 66 or 67% of all cars that are sold in Germany are for companies. Mm-hmm. And only 1/3 is actually for private owners. And that's why you can also, if you want, you can use the chart you had before where only Tesla was visible, because that's one thing that's also quite surprising. Tesla, on the other hand, mostly with their volume models, with the Model 3 and Y, only have 41 and 48% company car sales. Yeah. So if companies are able to, or would be able to, sell most or more cars via their companies, for their companies, we could have way better sales numbers in Germany. But what I have heard from fleet managers and companies, while talking to other Tesla owners or people that work for a bigger company that wanted a Tesla, most of the fleet owners said, well, we could do that, but first of all, they almost have contracts with OEMs already since years, mm-hmm. since decades. And the next thing is, pretty much all of the OEMs give quite a lot of rebates to the companies, which Tesla doesn't. Oh, I think we have seen one or two news articles about this. They just started to give 2,000 euros of a rebate for company discounts for company cars. Yeah. But that was the only thing ever that Tesla did to push sales towards companies, yeah. For company so, cars. And that's why they are also a little bit lagging behind, maybe. Or could do better, you could say. They could do way better if fleet managers allowed that.
That's a strategy they have to do in Germany, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big strategy. Very important. Yeah. Just a small nugget here, but yeah.
So only if the sales of the 3 and Y would be as high as the others at, for example, a BMW 3s at 70-80%, then all these sales from the Model 3, Model Y could double in Germany just by also providing 80% company cars. Yeah, so that's quite insane.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you guys, that was a lot of great information about Germany, German cars in Europe. I've been very curious to know about these amazing brands, you know, these legacy brands of BMW and Mercedes and what they're doing. And I did not know about the mostly fleet managers. Didn't know about the supercharger network. I didn't know that some of them have already publicly said that they're going to be a niche player. I think it'll be very shocking when the Chinese brands start taking over, maybe replacing these iconic brands. It's almost inevitable. It's either going to be Tesla and B or these Chinese brands in Europe. And it's going to be a sad day that the Europeans, but you guys think which one of the European brands could survive? I mean, they're all going to survive in some form, the smaller niche player now, but is there any of them that could actually come out and be still a top 5 auto manufacturer in the world?
From a volume perspective, even if VW will fall down to, I think, 4 million sales, 4 to 5 million probably, they will still be in the top 5, for sure. And the thing is, nobody else from the legacy OEMs would increase their sales to make that any worse for VW. So it's only new players that could actually fight that position.
That's true. Yeah. And it's interesting to see from the Chinese perspective, the Chinese brands did a very smart thing also. They bought up European brands, and this is the best strategy, because Polestar, Volvo is owned by I always blank out on the name. It's
Stellantis.
A bigger
Geely.
Yeah, Geely. The Chinese company Geely, the group Geely, it's owned by Geely, and Polestar is designed in Europe, and it's a great car. It's I think they can really compete also with maybe BMW especially, and Mercedes maybe in the premium segment. I think they're gonna have competition there from those companies. And for the lower sector here is MG, which is a British brand that was bought up, and MG is also very, especially in Norway, they have a lot of MGs already, and they are much better than the Cupras, for example, and also the VW ID3s, for example. So there's no comparison. The MGs are cheaper and better in that sense already. Lars from Best in Tesla told me this pretty thoroughly. We talked about this. So I think this is a strategy they're going to do. And for the survival of the car brands from Germany, which one will be on top? I don't know about volume, like Simon said here. He made a great point about VW. But I think Mercedes has the best chances to really stay. And they can shift to make a compelling product. But I see the biggest risk for all of those OEMs here in Germany, besides the Chinese OEMs, is that the software problematic is really a thing they have to tackle. If this doesn't get ironed out, I don't see them to be as premium as they claim, because they are in the premium niche then, and the biggest disadvantage they have then is software. And for me, at least, I view, what is luxury? what is like, is it leather stitching or that your car picks you up from your home and drives you somewhere? So this kind of is kind of a very big luxury. So I think if FSD comes, like the beta and everything, like the newer version of FSD will be launched in Europe, and Tesla's already lobbying heavily here. So, or at least starting to lobby. So they set up shop here, and they start with their, at first with their insurance business here, but they're going to be very close to the lawmaker here to get this through. And I think then it's a total different story. Also for the premium segment. So
that's just what I wanted to add. What's the chances that the German government is going to bail out these iconic brands?
Very high.
Or is like
very high?
It's very high. What do you mean, what do you mean by bailout though, right? Because like you were just saying, it almost doesn't matter how much money
they're
going
to nurture them for years to come. Nurture them. It's even if it's a failing business, they're going to keep on. That's always what Germany does, and the taxpayer will pay the bill as always in Germany. That's gotcha. Pretty like we have. It is like this because the last thing people want to see is unemployment here. This is they're gonna throw money at them like crazy, and that's my prediction.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Well, both of you, thank you so much. You know, you're both live in Germany. You guys follow the auto industry very carefully, so please follow Jan on Twitter, and he has his own YouTube channel called Tesla Fix. Check him out. He's got great videos. And then Simon, he wrote his bachelor thesis paper on Tesla. And you did a fantastic job on that. And your handle, I can't even, it's written there, B4UD3R. I don't know, what does that stand for?
Simon? Basically saying Bowder, just with two numbers.
That's your last
name.
Bowder, but change the numbers. Gotcha, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you guys both very much. Hopefully you guys learned something. I certainly did. I didn't know much about Europe and the car brands. Thank you both. See you soon.
Thank you, Herbert, for having us.
Thank you. Had a great time.